to the book of Psalms, chapter 116. Psalm chapter 116, we'd like to begin reading here in verse number 1. We are going to kind of step away from the flow of events of our study this morning for just a day and get back to it, Lord willing, next week. Not that we won't talk about the Lord or even be in the Gospels, but not in the flow of events as we have been in the life and ministry of Christ. But read here in Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord, because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Reading again in verse number 1, the psalmist begins this chapter in this great psalm by saying, I love the Lord because. I just want you to take a minute and let those five words sink in. Just let it go in the ears and the mind, sink down to the heart. I love the Lord because. When you hear that phrase or you think about it and it kind of begins to sink in on you, what is it that you fill that statement with? What is it that completes that statement for you this morning? The psalmist in particular talks about prayer, talks about being rescued and delivered by the Lord, talks about the mercy of the Lord, talks about many things, culminating sort of in verse number 12 when he rhetorically asks the question, what can I give to the Lord for all these benefits? What can I render because of all that He is and all that He has done for me and done to me? This thought that the psalmist puts here before us, I love the Lord because, it's one of the most beautiful thoughts I think that we can dwell upon this morning. And a thought, I think, that often gets lost in the affairs of life. It's a thought that gets lost in the responsibilities that we have from day to day, the things that we do. It gets lost even in the rigors and the forms of religion that we participate in and that we uphold. It gets kind of pushed to the side by a lot of different things. But it is something that we need to be constantly reminded of, and I think this morning to consider once again, finish the statement, I love the Lord because, and just thinking about that statement, we're graciously reminded that the Lord is to us everything. Out of His mercy, we have everything in this world. We don't even deserve to be liked by God. We don't deserve anything that He has given us. And so, when we are pulled away from the routines and the cares and brought to the reality here to finish this statement, I love the Lord because we look to what He has done for us. We look to what He is continuing to do for us each day, and we look to what He will yet or what He has promised to do for us in the future. We certainly know that in this time that we live in, it's not an easy day to serve the Lord. It's not an easy time to be a Christian. It's a dangerous time, in fact, in many ways. But we know tonight or today that the Lord is not dead or God has not died. We know that He is still active and working in this world, and He is still active and working in our lives. And there are times when we feel an absence. We feel a coldness, or we feel a distance between us and the Lord. That doesn't mean that He is not working or that He's not there. Doesn't mean that He's given up or that He's turned His back on us. It can mean a lot of different things, which we'll not go into this morning. But understand, He is still there, and we still should be contemplating the ways that we love the Lord, or the reasons of why we love the Lord and how He is special to us. An inventory of sorts, if you will, to consider. There's a lot of times wives will look at their husband and say, "Why do you love me?" And a lot of times we just sit there and we're like, "Oh man, we're going to mess this up." It's a hard question to answer. It really is, in all fairness. But when we look at Scripture and we consider our relationship with the Lord, we come up with some pretty compelling answers of why we love the Lord. And we do need to be reminded of those answers and those blessings and those things, because oftentimes we sort of forget that love isn't as it should be, or that love takes a back burner to other things. And we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of that love. I love the Lord because, having our focus be upon Him. Have our focus be completely and utterly upon Him in this finishing of this statement. So just let that thought permeate in your mind and in your heart this morning. I love the Lord because. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I don't know what the first thing that springs to your mind is. A lot of times when we're asked to inventory our love for a spouse or a loved one, we talk about their qualities or characteristics. We talk about the things that they might do for us or the strengths that they possess. We might talk about the length of time that you've known or been married or had a relationship. You might talk about all the experiences of life, the battles fought, the things done. But as we category or as we inventory our love for the Lord, to me the most obvious place to start is here in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19. We love Him because. I mean, we're finishing the statement, I love the Lord because. And here we find the statement, we love the Lord because. So you see here a great connection to our thought and to the verse there in the psalm. And as John writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, this is why we love the Lord. We love Him because He first loved us. Because He first loved me is the basis of reasons, foundation of reasons as to why I do love the Lord today. Because He first loved me. This verse speaks volumes about our relationship with the Lord. He desired, He cared, He loved, He chose, He worked in all of our lives, long before we ever knew who God was. He worked in so many wondrous ways, showing His grace and mercy, His loving kindness, and His long-suffering, showing all the qualities and characteristics we know to be true about God. But all of those qualities and characteristics are not at the foundation of why we love God. They are part of it. But understand, the only reason today that we can truly have a love for God in our heart is because He loved us first. You might fight about that with a spouse or another loved one. You know, and we can say that to our children, we loved you before you were ever born. You know, we loved Him first. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we see how foundational that is in our life, that the only reason we love Him is because He first loved us. This is truly amazing to me. Truly amazing to me. I mean, if we really begin to consider ourselves at our very best, the very best days when we are what we should be, or at least reaching or coming close to our potential for the Lord. We know those days are few and far between, but hypothetically, on those days when we are at our best and we are serving the Lord, we're glorifying Him, even on those days, We don't deserve the love of God to be upon us. And yet we find in this verse, the Bible tells us the fundamental truth that He loved us first, long before we ever were capable of doing any of those good things, doing any of those pleasing things, doing any of those things that were or would bring Him honor and glory. To imagine that God would condescend to love sinful man is beyond our comprehension. But then, to allow us to return that love, to allow us to have the ability to love Him back, is even a greater thing for us to consider as well. He first loved us, therefore we love Him because of that. We see that if we have a relationship with God today through Christ, it is only because He first loved us. He first loved us. And as we think about this, it means that He loved us when? He loved us when we were even still yet in our sin. We'll look at that in just a minute. You can turn over to Romans chapter 5. But He didn't wait to love us until we did some good. He didn't wait to love us until we gained some knowledge. He didn't wait to love us until we got our life together a little bit and made some sense out of things. He didn't wait to love us until we proved that we would be some kind of value. In other words, God's love toward us is completely unconditional. It's unconditional in that regard. He didn't wait until we were good. We could have never been good. Because the truth is that man will never choose to love God. He cannot. A man left to himself without ever experiencing the Word of God, the conviction of the Spirit, the preaching of the Word of God, without ever being washed over by the Word in some way, will be incapable of loving God in their life. Oh, they might have some kind of affinity towards God. They might have some kind of knowledge of God in the flesh, but they are incapable of loving God. They will never choose it. They will never choose it. Because man is incapable of loving God. But what thrills my heart this morning is to be reminded that God is not incapable of loving sinful man. Even when I was incapable of loving God, God loved me. Even when I was the worst that I would ever be, God was not incapable of loving me. And He extended that love and He showed forth that love in so many ways, as we'll note some this morning. But here in Romans chapter number 5, we find this truth. So many people have the opinion of salvation, or they have the opinion of the love of God that, it's conditioned upon what we do, how we act, how good we are, or somehow earned. But we can never do enough to earn the love of God. In the same way that we would never ask our children to earn our love. They don't have to earn it. It's just there. It's unconditional. It's just because of that relationship, because that they have been brought into our lives and God has granted them to us, that love is natural. We find, as far as God is concerned, He loved us when we were incapable of loving Him. What does that say about the love of God? What does that say about how God looks upon His people? Romans chapter 5. Verse number 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This verse is familiar, but connect it with this thought. I love the Lord because He first loved me. I love the Lord because He loved me when I was yet a sinner. He was not incapable of loving me. I was incapable of loving Him. But in spite of that, still, He expressed His love for me. Still, He showed that love toward me. And this verse shouts that truth that God is not incapable of loving sinful man. It shouts it from the rooftops here. And it turns, earning the favor of God by our fleshly works and desires on its ear, because it shows us it's not about any of that. But it's about the fact that God loved us while we were more than unlovable. We were hateable. We were vile and wretched. He had every right to hate every human being because of Adam's sin, because we were all in Adam. But we find that God did not or was not motivated to hate all of mankind. But there were some that He loved. And He loved them even as they fell in Adam. Even as they rebelled against Him. Even as they shook their fist at Him and said, "No, I'll do it my way." Still, God loved them. Still, God loved me. Man cannot make a decision to start loving God. It's not like you start drinking coffee and, it's kind of, it's not that great at first. Then after a while, you can't sort of live without it because you love it. It's not like that. God is not like that. Loving God is not anything of the sort. We cannot grow into a love for God. Now, certainly, once we have been saved by the grace of God, that love can be strengthened, it can be encouraged, it can be, fanned and flamed and all of that sort of a thing. But it cannot be something that we are able to grow into. This love that we are speaking of, I love the Lord because it's more than just, I know the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4, we know that the castaways even, they are enlightened. Even they know that there is a Lord. It's more than I fear the Lord. Because even the devils, James chapter 2 and verse number 19 says, they fear and they tremble. It's more than just I pray to God in some form of words. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 15 talks about God not hearing some of those prayers. Oh, how we need to realize it is a true relationship that comes only from Him loving us. There is no doubt about that. We need to live every day of our life in light of the fact that I am what I am by the grace of God, and I am loved by God because He first loved me, and that's the only reason that I have any desire in my heart toward God or any love in my heart toward God whatsoever. We need to consider that. I love Him because He first loved me. Don't take pride. Don't take credit. Don't take credit for the love that you have for God when you see other people railing and blaspheming and hating God, and you kind of lift yourself up and say, "Look how much I love the Lord. Look at how much I love God." Well, we know that we, at one time in our life, were alongside Him, doing the very same thing. And at that time, when we were doing the very same thing, and we looked apart because we were depraved, wretched sinners on our way to hell, God loved us at that moment. So we should never pass judgment on others and lift ourselves up above them. Because we certainly don't know who God is pleased to work in and in their life and how He might lead. But we also know that if God didn't love me, that's where I'd still be, and worse. Rejoice this morning in the fact that God loved you. He loved you first, and He's given you the ability to love Him back. We ought to exercise that love every day. We ought to show it forth every day in the things that we do. But as we further consider how that or why that we love the Lord, go back to 1 John chapter 4 again. Completing that phrase, I love the Lord because, first and foremost, He first loved me. read here again in 1 John chapter 4. This time we'll back up to around verse number 9. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. So again, we're completing the phrase, I love the Lord because. And John here is going to tell us again, here is something that we have in our life that displays for us the love of God and the fact that He does care and love us. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or He sent His Son to be the acceptable sacrifice, what was needed in order to pay for, in order to cover, in order to justify us and our sin before God. Oh, what a joyous thing to consider. I love the Lord because not only did He first love me, but because He sent His only begotten Son to die for me, the cross of Calvary. I love the Lord because. Not because we have comforts of life. Oh, they're nice and we thank the Lord for them. But certainly that should not be the only thing this morning that comes to your mind when you say, I love the Lord because I got a comfortable house or a comfortable car or fill in the blank, whatever else it is. Oh, at the top of this list has to be the fact we love Him because He gave Christ for us. Too often we allow ourselves to not realize, I think, the unspeakable, unfathomable gift that truly is, that God gave His only begotten Son. Thinking about the fact that He was willing to send His only begotten Son to this earth, that Christ, the Son of God, the eternal God Himself, was willing to come to this earth. And there's coming a time we know, we read of and study in Revelation, when the purpose of that coming is going to be glory to Himself and setting up a kingdom and ruling and reigning over a world. But you know what? When He came the first time, that was not at all how He came. And that was not His purpose. But love drew Him from the glories of heaven to the vileness of the earth. It was love that drew Him then from the earth to be lifted up on the cross. It's the love of God that placed Him there upon that terrible hill of Golgotha. And it was because of His love for us that He remained upon that cross. And that He shed His blood, that He gave everything that was needed for my salvation, bearing the reproach of sin for me. Out of love, this is what He did for us. When we preach the gospel, it is a simple message to present, but oh, the depths of the gospel, so hard to comprehend and understand. And we ought to spend some time thinking about that. And we ought to consider, I love the Lord because He sent Christ to die for me. We need to tell people that. That needs to be reflected in our lives. It needs to be shown in our works. It needs to be shown in the things that we do. How we live. How we speak to one another. The example that we lead for one another as well. Because there is no reason why God should love me. And yet because He sent His Son to die for me, I know that He does. And I know that any love I have for God in my heart is only because He loved me first and then sent His Son to die for me. Without Him loving me, not only would I have never loved Him, but I certainly would not have eternal life. None of us would. But He manifested His love. We get confused sometimes about what love is. We get confused with the emotions or feelings of the flesh. But love is best quantified by action in so many cases. And there is no greater act of love, history of the world, than what God did for us in sending Christ. No greater love in all the world than this. And so we should rejoice in that this morning, realizing that He displayed His love for us. And He did that. You know what? He did that before I was ever born. Before I could ever walk, before I could ever talk, before I could ever begin to understand any truth, before I could ever begin to understand anything about His church, before I could ever begin to grow in grace and in knowledge, before I could do anything. He loved me. And then He proved that love by sending Christ to die for me. Even then, what a great and glorious God we have. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He loved me. He loved you. If you're saved here today, you've got the assurance of that. If you're here lost, understand that God's expression of love, as He sent His Son to die upon the cross of Calvary, could extend to you also today. You can have that assurance of the love of God through Christ. What more could He do to show that love to us? There is no greater thing that He could do. He gave His only begotten Son. Rejoice in that this morning. It's not just a fact to learn, a story to memorize. It's not just the basics of religion or of knowledge of the Bible. It's everything. We need to realize our love for Him is because He sent His only begotten Son. Not all the other things in life that we have been given or other things or blessings, sure. But you know what? You might find yourself in very short order with all those blessings gone. You might find yourself in the hospital never being able to leave again. You might find yourself in the jail cell never having freedom again. You might find yourself, in some other calamity that leaves you without house and home or family or friends, or without the comforts of life. But this expression of love can never be altered, can never change, can never move. It is greater than anything that we have ever experienced in this world. And because we know that He sent His Son to die for us, we find this morning that we have the most important thing in this world in common. Most important thing that we can have in common with one another this morning is to know that Christ died for us, and the love that is born out of that in our heart for the Lord. And that brings us together this morning. What a joy that truly is. Now turn over with me to the Song of Solomon. We'd like to add one more thing to this list of finishing this phrase, I love the Lord because. Not only because He first loved me, that is foundational. Not only because He gave His only begotten Son for me, or that is transformational. When you consider in our life, that transforms everything when we come to that knowledge, that understanding. But as we turn here in the Song of Solomon, we want to read a few verses here. Say, I love the Lord because He is altogether lovely. And if one is foundational and one is transitional, then this would be inspirational. We should be inspired in our love for the Lord because He is altogether lovely. There are things about me, as you've discovered over the course of time, that are not lovely. There are things about me that my wife knows aren't lovely. But there is no way to look at our God and our Savior and our Holy Spirit that dwells within. No way to look at them and get an image or a picture that is not lovely. That is not altogether lovely. Even those things that maybe we don't like as much, like judgment or conviction or rebuke or those things that tend to rub us the wrong way, they are still altogether lovely when we consider them in the right form and fashion. Here, Song of Solomon chapter 5, verse number 9. He truly is our beloved. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphire. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. This is our God, our Savior, our Holy Spirit. He is altogether lovely. When you begin to catalog all the things that we love about Him, we get to the point where we're overwhelmed, like the writer here in verse 16, where she says He is altogether lovely. Everything about Him is appealing to me. Everything about Him is, to use another word, adorable, not little and cute, but adorable in that it is, or brings from us adoration. Everything about Him. Now, this is a physical description of a woman looking at her bridegroom-to-be and seeing his features. And though they may not have been perfect, still in her eyes, she saw perfection. The glorious thing about our God is that we don't have to put blinders on. We don't have to look past any kind of faults or failures. We don't have to put up with those things that will often irritate or make us upset. He is altogether lovely. And I love the Lord because of that. I love the Lord because of that. He is altogether lovely. In everything that He is, in everything that He does, in every way that He works in our lives, He is altogether lovely because of who He is, because of what He will continue to do, because of what He's promised to us in our lives, and what He is to us on a daily basis. This love that we have for Him, it should grow, it should mature. It should inspire us that we might show forth that love in the actions, the service, the things we do for the Lord, and in how we treat each other, how we treat our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, our fellow church members, our fellow man, how we do all those things should be motivated by our love for God. A lot of times, things that we do in our life are motivated by love for self, or a desire to comfort self, or a desire to please self or flesh. And when we allow that to be the motivation for what we do, it always causes problems in our lives. It causes problems in our churches. It causes problems in our homes. It causes problems in our country. It causes problems on our job. It causes problems everywhere. When we make decisions based on love of self. But when we are concentrating on, He first loved me, He sent Christ for me, He is altogether lovely. Oh, how that changes our attitude and perception, how that changes what we do, changes our motivation for what we do as well. We should inventory our love for the Lord today, not to see who loves Him more. It's not a competition. But that we might see if we are failing to return the love that God has shown to us. Many times His love goes unrequited or unreturned. His love goes unacted upon. Many times we receive, but we fail to give. And we need to be conscious of that this morning. Be inspired in our service for the Lord. Our walk, our desire to know more and grow in grace and knowledge, to encourage each other to grow, to do all those things that we might be pleasing to Him. That defines our love for the Lord. Go over to John chapter 21. We know that Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And he showed that greatness of love as he did so. And then after his resurrection, appearing to the disciples, he speaks to the Apostle Peter directly about this subject of love. You know this passage. Even Brother Mike mentioned in Sunday school the things that God has reserved, the things we haven't seen, the things we haven't heard, the things that haven't even entered into our heart that He has reserved for those that love Him, for those that love Him. He first loved us, that's never questioned. Our love, however, is, it's movable. Our love is, you know, it oscillates, it changes some in our lives. And here in John 21, Peter is confronted with his love for the Lord. He had been through a terrible time, terrible low in his life. He had forsaken the Lord. He had forsaken the Lord, and then not only through word and deed did he do it, but then he left the ministry and said, I'm going back to fishing. I'm not preaching anymore. I'm not serving the Lord anymore. I'm just going to go catch fish. And here in verse number 15, Christ comes to him and makes him face his love. And really at the heart of what is asked here, he's telling Peter, he's asking Peter, causing Peter to search himself. With this kind of question in mind, Peter, look at what you're doing. And now if what you're doing in your life matches the love you have for me, then just keep doing it. But if you can honestly today, Peter, look in your heart and tell me that you love me, then understand you need to serve me. Go feed my sheep. And so we have here in verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Verse 16, he saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And there's a lot of different ways to break down this interaction and look at it and really ponder upon it. But at the end of this, Peter is grieved. He says, You know I love you, Lord. The Lord says, Then act like it. Feed my sheep. Go and serve me. Don't run away from me. Don't go and serve yourself. You don't love yourself. You love me, Peter. I know that. Oh, that we could have the confidence even to be able to say that to the Lord. You know I love you, Lord. You know that I do. We all know that that's quantified with, you know, not as much as we should. That's understood. But can we honestly say to the Lord today, You know that I love you, Lord. And for just about every one of us in this room, myself at the top of the list, he will come back and he'll say, then prove it, act like it, and serve me, and be what I've called you to be. Thou knowest that I love thee. I pray that we can say that to the Lord because he is altogether lovely. We have no earthly reason today not to love the Lord. We can whine and complain about this or that, or we could be upset about this or that. And we can let that distract us from this or that. in the service of the Lord and faithfulness and other things. We can allow that to happen. But when we do, we're serving self, we're loving self instead of loving Him. And if we all loved Him to the very best of our ability, oh, how things would be different. Imagine how things would be different in our homes and our lives and our relationships. Imagine how things would be different in our church. If we all loved the Lord more than self. We need to search our souls this morning. In Psalm 139, verse 24, David prayed for that. He said, Lord, search me, try me. Know my heart. Our prayer and desire this morning should be for the Lord to search us. To search us as a church. Do we love the Lord as we should? Do we love the Lord as He has called us to love Him? We should stand in awe of that love He has extended to us. And that love should be reflected in what we do. We don't even deserve to be liked by Him. We really don't even deserve for Him to know our name. I know He knows everybody by Creator. But I mean to really know us. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve even to be liked by God Almighty. And so we need to consider that. None of us deserve His love, but we have it if we're saved. So as you leave here today, leave here with that thought in mind. As you go back to the draw of routines and the comforts of life and the things that do draw us or wear upon us or strain us or get us down or whatever else just draw us in many other directions. Leave here in reflection of God's love and grace and mercy. And search yourself to finish that statement, I love the Lord because. And bask in the glow of the ardor of the love of Almighty God. And search yourself to be reminded of why we love the Lord. It is, again, something that all the saved here this morning have in common. If you're here this morning and lost, understand the love of God is not conditioned upon who you are, what you are. It's not conditioned upon any of those things. You can only have assurance of the love of God if you know within your heart, if you believe by faith that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, His greatest expression of love that there's ever been. If you know that, if you understand that, if you believe that beyond the shadow of a doubt, you have the love of God. You have the love of God. And if you've experienced that in your heart, I would encourage you to shout it from the rooftops. Let everyone know. Let everyone know that God loves me so much that He sent Jesus Christ to die for me. So baptism, Lord's Supper, that's what those things are about, we know. Shout it from the rooftops. We ought to be excited about the love of God, especially in the world that we live in today. Everything around us so depressing and trying and difficult. God loves us. We need to be concerned always about our love for Him. Let's stand. Ask for the mic musicians to come.